Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update for Tuesday, 23rd of February, 2021 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the island. And background to the news, we've got sport, business, Sea Watch, Traveller Dex, the newsmakers in person. Tonight, 6 new cases of COVID-19, a total of 27 active cases, nobody in Nobles Hospital, and the AstraZeneca jab gap has been extended on the island. All steam packet crew should be vaccinated this week. More on that Snaefell surgery controversy. 2 pubs and a cafe to get registered building status, all on post-lockdown 2, Freedom Day 23. A.K.A. Flume Free Tuesday at the NSC.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes before 6, these are the update news headlines. First am I, Ewan Gorn.
The interval between administering the 2 doses of the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine is to be extended by up to 10 weeks. The change in strategy for the delivery of this jab was announced by Health Minister David Ashford today. It's following a review of evidence in the UK by senior clinicians here. A further 2 cases of COVID-19 have been identified today, following on from the 4 announced by the Chief Minister in the House of Keys this morning. All 6 are close contacts of the recently identified cluster and were already in self-isolation. It means there are 27 active cases. Steam Packet staff are set to receive vaccinations at the Chester Street hub tomorrow. It's as an investigation continues into whether Manx-based crew have followed COVID procedures when off duty. Further afield, Scotland's First Minister set out plans for a phased reopening of shops, restaurants, gyms and hairdressers from the last week of April. Nicola Sturgeon hopes to return to the level system at that point under her roadmap for easing lockdown restrictions. The stay-at-home order could be lifted on the 5th of April. Meanwhile, the Prime Minister in the UK is insisting he's optimistic about all of England's COVID restrictions ending on the 21st of June, but he's warned nothing is guaranteed. And the UK's recorded its lowest daily number of new COVID cases since the 2nd of October, at just under 8,500 infections. 548 more people have died. We'll be back with news in full at 6 o'clock.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you, Ewan, from the Ronalds Way Met Office. Gales or severe gales continuing out in the North Irish Sea. The rain and the southerly wind should start to ease off this evening. Overnight minimum is 8 degrees. There's high winds and fog on the matrix signs showing for the mountain road. So do take care if you're heading over the top tonight. Tomorrow for Wednesday, Ukraine, cloudy with patchy rain, a moderate to fresh wind from the southwest, top temperature 9 degrees, down to 4 through the night into Thursday, which will be dry with a light or moderate westerly for Jordan. Daytime maximum 8 degrees. Sunset is in about 10 minutes' time. High water 17 minutes past 9 tonight, low water 23 minutes past 3 a.m. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 19 minutes past 7. High water is 24 minutes past 9. The Ben McCree didn't sail this morning. She's due out at 7:45 this evening.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. Visit us at Snugborough to see our range of picture frame glass, mirrors and tabletop glass.
Well, here's the big news today. The Department of Health and Social Care have chosen to extend the gap between delivering the 2 doses of the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine. It's following evidence from the UK which shows extending beyond the 28-day specification doesn't affect the 76% efficacy of the first dose. The change in strategy was confirmed by the Minister, David Ashford, at today's media briefing.
We have been reviewing the emerging evidence around COVID-19 vaccinations. The latest evidence arising from the deployment of the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine in the UK has confirmed that the interval between the 2 doses may be extended beyond the original specification of 28 days, and that the vaccine has an average 76% effectiveness against symptomatic coronavirus infection for 3 months after the first dose. It has also been shown that extending the time period for the second dose does not affect the efficacy of the first, which was an initial concern not that long ago. After extensive review of the evidence by senior clinicians in the Department of Health and Social Care, the strategy to extend the gap between the two doses of the Oxford vaccine is now being adopted here in the Isle of Man. The decision means more people will be vaccinated with one dose at an earlier stage than originally planned. Our team is now working hard to redraw our vaccination schedule. The new dose intervals for Oxford AstraZeneca will come into effect for all who have registered with 111 following their invitation letter and those who will be invited in the future. The change won't affect people who already have an appointment from 111 for their second dose of the Oxford vaccine, which will go ahead as planned. Modelling of the rollout in line with expected delivery schedules of the vaccine and the updated second dose timeframes will vary delivery of the first and second doses by a few weeks, but will not change the overall programme. Delivery of vaccines to the island remains the biggest variable in our mass vaccination programme. The dose interval for the Pfizer vaccine currently remains at 21 days, but this is subject to ongoing review in line with emerging evidence around that vaccine.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Good evening, it's 23 minutes before 6. The Chief Minister says he hopes all Steam Packet crew members will be vaccinated this week. Follows a change in policy to allow workers on the Ben McCree to be prioritised for the jab after a recent clusters index case was identified as a Manx steam packet worker. Howard Quayle says an investigation is underway to find out exactly how the individual got the virus.
I think that the protective bubble is not in place as UK-based, and Isle of Man crews mix during shifts. That's sadly what appears to have happened in this instance, and we need just to work with our steam packet colleagues to ensure that the measures are put in place to stop this from happening again, whilst quite obviously not being too draconian in the measures required to protect our island with the staff who work for the steam packet. So it is a tough one. Yes, they've done a good job, but yes, everyone on the Isle of Man has done a good job. Our nurses, our doctors, our prison staff, our teachers, people working in shops have done a good job to keep the island safe. Clearly, from time to time, you see breakdowns in people's adherence to wearing PPE when they should be. Obviously, something's gone wrong here, and that's what we need to get to the bottom of. And it's obviously gone wrong when someone from the English base crew has somehow managed to transfer the virus to a Manx base crew. And we need to understand how that has happened and what can we do to ensure that it doesn't happen again and that we plug that hole.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
So the Ben McCree didn't leave this morning because of the severe gale out in the North Irish Sea. She's due to depart at 7:45 this evening, heading for Heysham, arriving there at 11:30, departing overnight at 2:15, back in Douglas tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
As he detailed the financial support given to a Douglas surgery, which is threatening to withdraw from its contract, the Health Minister has said he's adamant that services will continue on the site. Ahead of a meeting with Snaefell practice representatives tomorrow, David Ashford gave a detailed departmental view of the situation to the House of Keys members this morning.
GP practices are self-employed contractors contracted to the department to provide general medical services. But the partners handing in their contract will not lead to the surgery's closure. If necessary, it will continue under new management. In terms of funding, all GP practices are funded in exactly the same way, and Snaefell is no different to that. The budget early last week increased the funding available to primary care by £2.2 million in the forthcoming financial year. This includes £400,000 of new enhanced services commencing in April. There is also, on top of that £2.2 million, £1.26 million of additional funding within the transformation programme for the delivery of primary care at scale. The current funding arrangements were actually only agreed by GP representatives representatives themselves a few months ago. We have gone back to the wider GP community to ask if they are still in agreement with the current contract provisions, and they have confirmed they are and wish to the current contract to remain in place. The department has also engaged with the practice and suggested ways they can increase the funding they are entitled to under the current contractual arrangements. Snaefell surgery has had some difficulties over the last year. It has been one GP down for most of the year and has at stages been two GPs down. The department has a scheme which reimburses practices to provide locum cover in lieu of sickness for GPs, and this year the department has refunded £67,000 worth of locum fees to this practice alone. The practice decided to close their list to new patients for most of the last year. The overall effect of this has been the practice has 111 less patients than it did this time last year. An increase of 111 patients, should the practice open its list, would provide the practice with an approximate annual additional income of £14,030. The department's position is that the surgery will be continuing, if necessary, under new management.
Manx Radio Business Briefing with Western Union Business Solutions.
Apple sold more iPhones than any other smartphone maker in the world in the final quarter of 2020, securing the top position for the first time in 4 years. Apple sold nearly 80 million iPhones in the fourth quarter, marking a 15% increase over the same period in 2019, despite an overall 5% decline in worldwide smartphone sales. It's a sign that the new 5G iPhone 12 series is a hit in the marketplace, heating up competition with Samsung, which sold more smartphones over the full year. HSBC has signalled its pivot to Asia, outlining plans to invest about $6 million or $4.3 billion pounds. That's $6 billion, $4.3 billion sterling in the region. It's targeting wealth management and commercial banking to drive double-digit growth and has singled out Singapore, China and Hong Kong. The strategy update came as HSBC reported a 34% drop in profits for 2020 due to the impact from COVID-19. The UK-based bank already generates the bulk of its revenues from Asia and said it'll resume paying a dividend of 15 cents a share in cash, the first payout announced since October 2019. Pre-tax profit at HSBC fell to $8.8 billion for the year ending 31st of December, down from $13.35 billion a year before.
Manx Radio Business Briefing with Western Union Business Solutions, a global financial network you can trust. The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed mixed after a choppy day's trade. US stocks were lower as tech stocks extended their declines, and oil was steady on signs global coronavirus restrictions looked to be being eased. Gold eased as the US dollar firmed, and in equity markets, HSBC closed lower after that 34% slump in annual profits. Online supermarket Ocado and Just Eat, both of which have benefited from lockdowns and restrictions, lost ground. And the close, Ramsey Crookall provide the numbers at 5 o'clock in London. Sorry, the FTSE 100 was up 0.25% at 6,625. The DAX in Frankfurt down 0.6% at 13,864. In New York City at 5 o'clock, the Dow Jones Industrial was down 0.4%, 31,401. The tech stocks index, the NASDAQ, down 2% at 13,266. And in Chicago, the S&P 500 down 0.75% at 3,847. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1, 40.9 cents. And €1, 16 cents. And finally, 20 South African rand, 55.8 cents. Finally, in commodities, gold flat at $1,808 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil down almost 0.9% at $65.22.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsey Crookall, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Good evening, it's a quarter to six on Manx Radio, live from the Isle of Man. Three sites of special architectural or historic interest could soon be added to the island's registered buildings list. Proposals to register, or PTRs, were issued to the Cozy Nook in Port Erin, Trafalgar House in Douglas, and the Mitre in Kirkmichael. The details from Lewis Foster.
A three-week consultation on each building will be held before a final decision is made. If entered onto the list, the former pub, current pub, and former seaside cafe will be protected from demolition or changes without first receiving consent. Trafalgar House and the Cozy Nook were saved from demolition after DEFA stepped in with building preservation notices last year. Port Erin commissioners had voted to demolish the former and replace it with a modern facility before government's intervention. Built in the 1800s, the site was run as a cafe up until 2019. Trafalgar House, meanwhile, is currently listed by local estate agents Crystals with an asking price of £475,000. While parts of the Mitre pub building are thought to have been built in the 16th century. In the Isle of Man, there are currently around 250 buildings on the register.
Manx Radio Sport.
Bastamai, Tim Glover.
Junior Michael Cross is the Isle of Man Clay Pigeon Shooting Club Winter All-Round Champion. He took the honour against more experienced opponents in near-perfect conditions at Maryveg Rangers in Santon on Sunday. He finished on an overall score of 192, which was 7 ahead of the runner-up Brian Farragher, with Giulio Fabrizio in third on 179. Mainly thanks to hitting the best score in the sporting shoot. Well, it was a clean sweep for Michael Cross, who quite obviously took the junior prize as well, and also the team contest with Will Rand. 23 competitors in all entered the competition. There's a break this coming Sunday with a work party out to get the facility ready for the summer season. Nice to use the word summer. Further afield, Chelsea face Atletico Madrid in the first leg of their Champions League last 16 tie in Bucharest. And that's on this evening. The match has been switched from Spain due to COVID-19 travel restrictions. Manager Thomas Tuchel is unbeaten since arriving at Stamford Bridge, but he knows this could be his hardest match yet. And Jose Mourinho has defiantly backed himself to turn Tottenham's season around. The North London club have lost five of the last six Premier League games, with rumours suggesting Mourinho's future could be in danger. But the Portuguese boss says he's determined to change his team's fortunes.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by the island's only dedicated electric car service centre.
One departure, one arrival at Ronald's Way. The 10 to 5 Liverpool patient transfer flight, the Logan Air flight, left 6 minutes late. Back this evening at 20 to 7 on the roads. Switchback roads closed until 4 o'clock tomorrow from the Lurgidoo Junction to the Peel Coast Road due to a number of unsafe trees threatening the carriageway. They'll be dealt with when the weather improves tomorrow. They're closed till 4, and also the Trafalgar Hotel Lane between West Quay and Parliament Street in Ramsey closed due to an unsafe roof. Closure again till 4 o'clock tomorrow. Do take care. Quarterbridge Road, those northbound only restrictions continue with curb replacements. You'll be happy to know that from next Monday, Quarterbridge Road will be having nighttime closures from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. as they resurface the road and bring the footpath up to the new curbstones till the end of March. Luthwaite's Way, Victoria Road in Port St Mary closed to vehicles, partial parking suspension on Bayview Road and the junction with Luthwaite's Way. Look out also, Switzerland Road in Douglas closed to vehicles by the junction with Queen's Prom for the prom refurb work. South Promenade in Ramsey's, footways on both eastern and western sides of the prom are closed. Parking suspended on the adjacent portion of the promenade for refurbishment and building of the RNLI lifeboat station. And good news is they face closures for water main replacement and sewage infrastructure in Peel scheduled to finish this Sunday.
The island's new solely dedicated electric and hybrid vehicle service centre. Get more with Keyside.
Figures recently published by the Department of Infrastructure showed a big jump in the number of drivers being caught by ANPR cameras without an up-to-date vehicle licence, road tax. In 2020, 490 motorists were identified by cameras, all but 27 of which came after lockdown. Infrastructure Minister Tim Baker now.
They get a letter and they're asked to remediate the situation by getting the car tax and paying what they should be doing. If they don't do that, then it's through the courts to prosecution. And we've got seven cases at the moment that we're taking through that process. From my point of view, yeah, I would welcome stronger penalties. I think there's a general thing around making it penal for people who don't follow the rules, so whether it's in planning applications or vehicle tax, I don't think it's good enough personally just to say, well, remediate the situation and it's okay. It's not okay because people have taken advantage of loopholes. So ANPR, the technology's there. If people aren't taxing the cars, they are going to get found out. We're out every week. We're not in fixed locations. The technology's going to get people if they don't tax the vehicles.
So should the cameras be out more than just once a week?
Well, I said at least weekly, so it's not necessarily just once a week. We need to get them out as much as we can to catch people. Simple as that. Equally, we don't want people just sat there all day with valuable resources. So the message needs to be out there that if you're caught, you are going to get it is going to get followed through. And if why shouldn't that be the case? So certainly looking to move that forward.
Well, of course, every case you find is more money coming into government coffers, which we're being told you're very short of at the moment. So
absolutely. I mean, yeah.
Having ANPR cameras out is in the government's interest, isn't it?
It is, yeah. All we're asking people to do is to pay what they legally have to do. And I think we've perhaps in the past been a bit slower on some of this enforcement activity, whether it be on vehicle tax or whether it's parking or whatever. We need the money. You know, you don't have to have a financial qualification to realise that the COVID situation has been a significant financial impact. We've got to make sure we're collecting the money and we've got to make sure we're spending it wisely.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Back to those registered buildings, the proposal by government to register Trafalgar House, the Old Traff pub, has been welcomed by those who campaign to preserve it. A plan to demolish the period property on South Quay as part of a project to build flats was stopped, though work on adjacent units is going on. Here's the retired heritage campaigner Charles Gard.
We've traced it back to at least 1830. And I think if the government are going to put up a sign saying historic harbour, then you don't want to be knocking down the most historic building that there is. That really is its prime importance. It was a very successful pub. There's so many bands used to play in there. It was a thriving place. Why that's faded, I don't know. That's not really the point. The fact is, I think if we are to preserve the environs, then the fact that that was just going to be demolished to be replaced by some flats, I think, without any consideration, that's what worried me. If it had have been registered, and it should have been registered decades ago, then at least there would have been a sensible consideration and discussion. As it was, the digger was within a few feet of it, and a friend of mine, David Wertheim, and myself put in over the weekend an emergency plea to have the demolition stopped. And they did put this holding order on it, and they're now considering whether they should register it or not. I cannot say they definitely were going to demolish it, the people there, but it shouldn't even be considered at this moment. You know, it shouldn't have been a fear.
Some might argue that by registering buildings, we are getting in the way of development, getting in the way of what would have been perhaps new flats for young people, a rooftop wine bar, I'm led to believe, as well. What do you say in response to that? How do you strike that balance between protecting your areas of interest and moving with the times and giving people what they want?
It's most definitely a balance. And it is on the sale. It is for sale for $475,000, which seems a very steep price to me. I can't believe that an architect could not have incorporated that building into what's going up next to it and made it a small wine bar, made it a feature, say, look, we're proud of this. It's a lovely little early 19th century building. Why couldn't they have done something with it? I think think the knee-jerk reaction is, oh, just demolish it, it's old, it's rubbish, we don't want it. And if we do that all across the Isle of Man, what are we left with? You can see what we're going to be left with when you see what goes up there.
6 minutes to six, the Isle of Man Green Party is calling for investment in education to protect Manx jobs from being replaced by technology. The leader of the party, Andrew Langan-Newton, says automation's already cost roles in the banking sector on the island and government should focus on reskilling those at risk.
What we're facing in the future is increasing automation of jobs. We've seen it recently with the automation of banking jobs, which has lost 120 jobs of Lloyds Bank in the Isle of Man, amongst some other things. This is a trend that's only going to increase, and we're going to see more people being displaced in the market.
So what's the solution then?
The solution is, it's a complex problem, so it's a complex range of tools that we need to employ. One of them is upskilling, a range of skills available to people in the Isle of Man, supporting them in transitioning to the new economy, to the new way of doing business in the world.
But to government's credit, there is a substantial investment in UCM and expanded educational courses in this budget. Does that not go some way to addressing this issue?
It does. But a minuscule, a marginal amount. What we're facing is a huge trend which is coming more quickly, and COVID-19 has sped up. So we're looking at unemployment at 2% or 4% if you take different measures. How many of those unemployed, structurally employed, will be able to go back into the housing markets at the jobs they faced? And especially what we're seeing is lower-skilled jobs that are facing the greatest threat from automation, from artificial intelligence. We should be embracing artificial intelligence. It will improve our economy and make our systems more efficient. It will make our well-being better. However, there's consequences of this automation, and that is the displacement of jobs. That is people being unemployed and facing questions about what role they're going to play in society. We need to own up to that. We need to invest in education. We need to invest in opportunities, especially the young people in the Isle of Man.
So where can we make those jobs? Where can we find that new sector?
Well, we know that the future is going to involve the huge swathe of jobs through the green transition for the green economy.
So how much of that's not being backed, you said, by government? So are the jobs going to be forthcoming for people on the Isle of Man?
We need to see leadership from the Isle of Man government, from the departments, from the ministers leading those departments in about creating the environment where that change comes about. We need that change because of the threat of climate change, but we also need it for the jobs it's going to create for the people in the Isle of Man who are being displaced at the moment.
That's it for Update tonight. Thanks to Nuruja and Ewan Gorn. Of course, updates compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Back tomorrow evening at 5:30. Have a good evening. W-I-N-T.